It was nearly four decades ago that Dustin Hoffman put on a dress and heels for the movie Tootsie to play the out-of-work actor Michael Dorsey, auditioning for a woman's role in a soap opera.
I'm an actress. I'm a character actress. I can play this part any way you want.
Honey, I'm sure
you may remember he got the part, but not without a few complications. Well, nearly four decades later, a new musical version is getting raves on Broadway. Tony nominee Santino Fontana stars as Michael Dorsey. In this version, he auditions for the role of Juliet's nurse in a farcical sequel to Romeo and Juliet. The new show is cleverly updated for the times, and it's as relentlessly funny as it is relevant. Here and Now's Karen Miller-Medson met with Fontana, writer Robert Horn, and composer David Yazbek backstage after a recent performance.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Before we get into any part of the plot, I have to say that falsetto. I mean, you open your mouth.
Santino?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Terrible.
You open your mouth for the audition scene to become the nurse in musical Romeo and Juliet, and you belt out this falsetto.
Come and come back to town. Come to watch and feed me to you. I promise I'll always come through. Just call and I'm there. Let you down.
Is that like a superpower?
No, I don't think it's a superpower. I don't know if it's really a falsetto. It's just a different extension of how are we going to make these two characters different? And that was over the 3 years of developing the show came into focus.
I have to ask you, David Yazbek, who wrote this music, did you have Santino in mind when you wrote this? Or did you think there were... You know, someone else in the country who had that range.
I had Leonard Cohen in mind when I was writing the show. No, I mean, I didn't. Most of the stuff that I wrote, I didn't know Santino was going to be in the show. Thank God he is in the show, because when I was writing it, I had no concern or thought for the person who was going to have to do it.
In one rehearsal, we added something where there's like a high D.
Oh, that's right.
And David was like, came up to me after the run through, and he was like, "Can you do that?" And I was like, you mean what I just did? He was like,
yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the book. You know, in 1982, just putting on a dress was funny. You know, it's mm-hmm. been a genre, men in a dress equals funny. But it was before Me Too, and it was when, you know, a man telling a woman how to fix her relationship problems was quaint. You know, the whole mansplaining thing. And so... when one sees it, it doesn't necessarily scream, let's do it again, even though everyone appreciates that movie. That's the whole way of saying, why Tootsie? Tootsie?
Well, for a number of reasons. One, at the core, the DNA of this story is about a man who is desperate, who is told, you can no longer do the one thing you love more than anything. And what would you do in your life if somebody told you that? And he makes some very stupid choices, which is great setup for farce and for theater. And once we knew that that was all we had to honor and that we could write our own version of Tootsie based on that and then bring back from the movie anything or nothing that we wanted to use, it all sort of organically started to take shape.
And you do update it. I've got to say, Dorothy is a feminist. He empowers women on the set. And you've got this great scene where the woman producer of this farcical musical says, I'm going to gamble on the smartest voice in the room, especially when it's coming from a woman. Mm-hmm. And that sort of sets the stage for a different...
And I think you just answered why Tootsie. That's why. This highlights the power of stepping into somebody else's shoes and in the process learning about their experience and being able to transfer from sympathy to empathy. And Billy Wilder has a great quote, if you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh or they'll kill you. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, the fact that we're watching somebody learn from another person's experience and be transformed by it, that's why we're doing it.
There's another twist that updates it. Dorothy comes in and falls in love with this woman, but of course, what can happen between them? Because now she thinks it's a woman. Well, in yours, the woman falls in love with him. And Dorothy, Michael, says, well, I'm not a lesbian. And she says, well, neither am I.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nod to gender fluidity.
Absolutely.
And it's also It's a play about stereotypes and breaking stereotypes.
That's what, at first glance, may not be obvious. But when you step into it, you realize, oh gosh, this is saying so much about humanity and that we have to find common ground.
I've got to say, I looked at this and I saw a Greek tragedy. The second you put on that dress...
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. And that opening scene, which is that schmaltzy, poorly written, well-written, poorly written parody of Broadway, which when it opens, you think, oh my God, is this the show I've come to? Turns into a Greek chorus.
So glad.
And
you
then you've got the
that.
Character Jeff.
Andy Grote Lucian.
He's your roommate. And I see him as a combination between the Oracle at Delphi and, say, Bob Newhart.
Right? Absolutely.
He's sort of the prophet who all the way through says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Not long ago, there was a man, an angry guy, awkwardly aging, committed, but kind of self-destructive, winding his way through life till ambition and circumstance conspired to deliver an opportunity no one except a megalomaniacal actor with nothing to really lose would consider. So then, of course, this guy puts, oh yeah, this guy is you, in case you were wondering.
And he's got this line that's just classic where he says, at a time when women are literally clutching their power back from between the legs of men, you have the audacity to take a job away from one by impersonating one. And Michael Dorsey doesn't flinch.
He doesn't see it yet. And the show is him gradually being able to see it.
You know, David and I early on realized that the audience needed a window in. The audience needed a point of view saying, you're not going to get away with this. This is a stupid thing to do. What are you doing?
It totally stresses us out in the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the music. So the last time we talked to you, David, you had just finished the musical score and lyrics for the band's visit. And it was a personal one for you. You drew on your childhood visits to Lebanon and your grandparents. And you talked about how it was a show without big numbers. Tootsie opens with big numbers and big lyrics and lots of movement. What were you thinking when you jumped into this music right off of that music?
Well, I was bouncing back and forth for a while. There was an overlap period. So it was interesting to be bouncing from that personal, quiet show to what you've just described, this sort of uproarious comedy. And that's incredibly valuable and refreshing to be able to do that. It is the funniest show I've ever seen. A lot of that is because of the two people I'm sitting between on this couch. And you know, to go into this, what you're calling a Greek tragedy, and deliver these kind of laughs, this is Larry Gelbart, Neil Simon territory, I think.
It's also a show where a lot of the songs are memorable. Certainly the lyrics are memorable. And I felt like I saw some classic Yazbek in there. Sandy, Santino's ex-girlfriend, you know, she's neurotic, she's nervous, she's a naysayer and a doomsday waiter, and she has this song, What's Gonna Happen, that reprises throughout the show.
I'll sleep for half an hour, the clock will ring at 6, I'll wake up in the shower with a stomach full of bricks, so I won't have any breakfast, maybe just a little tea, like when you have to go and get a colonoscopy, which incidentally isn't half as disconcerting or upsetting as going for a purse, you know there's no way that you're getting.
I was immediately brought back to Candela in Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown with her Model Behavior song.
You know, I like to think that you can hear me in the songs. In the case of What's Going to Happen, I don't know. It just felt this is a nervous wreck of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's do a patter song. Let's make it a mambo, you know, and really fast. Almost too fast for the actress, you know.
I've got to mention this ensemble cast you have. There's Lily Cooper as Julie, who's phenomenal. She plays the love interest of Dorothy and Michael, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And John Bellman as Max Van Horn. He's the not-so-smart, super buff character. His abs are a character in themselves. And he adds so much comedy to it. And back to Lily Cooper, she has one of the lines in the show that brings it back to a more serious theme, which I want to go back to. When Michael has his downfall, when he falls off his pedestal, he says that he knows that he messed up. And she says, no, you don't. You think because you walked a mile in a woman's shoes, you suddenly know. Walk 100, walk 1,000, and then fall 1,000 more because there's so much you don't know about so much. And you haven't learned, and she schools you. What does that feel like on stage?
Necessary in order to tell the story. It's the point of the story. And if he hasn't heard that, and he's on the road to beginning to learn, and she does not need to forgive him, but she opens the door. he has to become both aware of it, and other people have to make sure that there's a reckoning.
So I saw this on Thursday night, and there was this great scene. It's one of the final scenes where Dorothy suddenly smacks her glasses off.
My glasses flew off of my wig. We didn't know where they went. I looked around. People in the audience were pointing. Michael McGraw, me and Andy Grote Lucian were all staring at each other. I then said, my glasses just got raptured. And then I tried to get Michael back into the scene.
For me, as a jazz guy, those are the moments that I've just loved the most. And everyone on that stage can do that, can riff, you know. It's great.
Thank you. Good luck. Break a leg tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Nobody sees me and nobody listens and nobody cares.
That was Tootsie star Santino Fontana along with showwriter Robert Horn and David Yazbek, who wrote the score. All three are Tony nominated. You're listening to Here and Now. Because you believe.